Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. In our final episode on decisions, Zachary Wall joins me once again to talk about loyalty to God. What is loyalty in a spiritual sense, and how does loyalty to God affect each decision we make? We talk about this and so much more on this week's episode. But before we begin today, I want to share with you our new podcast series beginning next week on living a countercultural life. In this upcoming series, we'll talk about all things social media, peace in an angry culture, and so much more. I can't wait to share these episodes with you. I'm Tyler Wall, and you're listening to Road Trips. I was going to give you a break this season, but you recently preached a sermon about the topic that we wanted to talk about. And so I was just like, it's just too good. So this episode is about 2 days in the making. So we'll see how this goes. We're closing out our series on decisions and decisions that we make as followers of Jesus, specifically as young adult followers of Jesus. And we're talking about loyalty or remaining loyal to God. So just to start, how would you define loyalty as a follower of Jesus?
Yeah, I would start by just giving two words. I would say that loyalty to Jesus, and like how I like to define it and think about it, is unswerving allegiance. So really the idea that you're completely aligned with Jesus. You're walking the straight and narrow. If some temptation or something comes up beside you, you're not tempted to wander off the path because you are unswerving. You're staying focused on Jesus and your eyes are on him, and you're going to do and follow and listen to whatever he has to say. I think a good passage that relates to this is the best passage is in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is closing his talk in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And he says that no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon or money. But I think you could replace that word money or mammon with anything that is in this world. So you cannot serve both God and sports. You cannot serve both God and sex. You cannot serve both God and pride. Like whatever it is, whatever temptation you might struggle with, you can't do both. So Jesus wants a heart that is wholly on him. He wants a mind that is wholly on him. So when we think about what it means to be loyal to Jesus, I think that's what he's wanting us to be unswervingly allegiant to him. I've heard it put, and you've probably heard this as well, like what good is a husband or a wife if they're loyal to each other only 99% of the time? And you say, well, it's just 1%. Yeah, but that 1% is very important. That 1% means everything. Like we want our God to be loyal to us, but we also, he wants us to be loyal to him. But oftentimes we get mad if we feel like God has not listened to us, or if God has, for some reason, closed the door that we wanted open. But we never consider, like, are we truly being loyal to him? And what it really takes to be loyal, again, is you are going to remain unswervingly allegiant to the one who has always remained loyal to you. In 2 Timothy 2:13, Paul wrote, he said, if we are faithless, he, God, remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Like no matter what we do in our life, even if we are sinners, if we're faithless, whatever, he remains faithful. And I think that's such a good verse, and it really helps us understand, okay, God's loyal to us, and we should be loyal in return.
Yeah, I like the words that you use there of unswerving, immovable, allegiance and loyalty no matter what. It made me think of 1 Corinthians 15:58, It says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Just when I think of loyalty, I think of those words, steadfast, immovable, abounding always in the work of the Lord. I think it's kind of like you were saying, it's loyalty and it's allegiance despite the circumstances. And I think with anything else, whether it's a job, whether it's education, like there's a point in that effort when you can tap out and you can say, okay, I'm done. This is too difficult. I want to change course. I want to go do something else. And with loyalty to Jesus, it's sticking with it. And it's saying, no matter the circumstances that I'm going through, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to remain loyal to him. Obviously, some do leave. Some do tap out. Some do say that I'm not going to remain loyal to him. Yet, when you make that commitment, when you say, I'm going to remain loyal to Jesus, then it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You've made that commitment. You've made that decision to say that I'm going to remain loyal to him. You mentioned some great passages. I also think of 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. I don't know why. My mind just kind of went to suffering and the trials we go through in life, because you may agree with this or not, but I think that those trials, those things that we go through truly test just how loyal we are to God and just how much we believe in him and trust in him. So I really like that definition there. So just kind of moving on, what are some examples in the Bible of loyalty to God, and what can we learn from those examples?
Yeah, there's so many examples of people, but I'll just give a couple. One is in Genesis, and it's the story of Joseph. So if you remember the story of Joseph, he was the 11th son born to his father Jacob, but the problem arose when Jacob treated him differently than he did his other sons. He was his favorite because he was born to Rachel, who, again, in a complicated relationship and family, Rachel was Jacob's most loved wife. So being the father that Jacob was and treating Joseph in a sense that showed his favoritism to the rest of the siblings, he made a colorful robe for him. His brothers get jealous. They get more jealous when he has a dream that says, hey, one day you're going to bow down to me. So they get rid of him. Long story short, he ends up in Egypt in Potiphar's house. Potiphar is an official. He's an officer for King Pharaoh. And while he's there, something happens. And he gets accused, essentially, of rape. And it says in Genesis 39, it says, with me in charge, my master, this is Joseph speaking, with me in charge, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And I love that last phrase. How could I sin against God? In other words, what Joseph was telling Potiphar's wife here was that you could offer me anything in the world, but I'm going to remain loyal to God. Like, even if you offered me all of life's pleasures, like, I'm remaining faithful to my creator. And it's interesting to me that he gives this answer despite not knowing the Ten Commandments. Like, that didn't come about for another 300-400 years later. So he says, I'm not going to commit adultery with you by abusing the power that I have in this household. I'm not going to do that. And yet he didn't look, okay, here's the Ten Commandments, command number 7, don't commit adultery. Therefore, I know it's wrong. Like, he didn't need the law to tell him it was wrong, because he knew that by sleeping with her, he would be betraying his master's trust. And he knew that betrayal was wrong. Even though there was probably a good chance Potiphar would have never found out, it didn't matter. Joseph knew what was right, what was wrong, and he decided to remain loyal to God and really to Potiphar at the same time. And then another example is Daniel. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, he serves under three different kings while he is in Babylon. And in Daniel chapter 6, he's under King Darius. And Daniel is, again, similar to Joseph. He has all these people around him that are very jealous of him because he was so good at his job. So they're jealous of him. They convince the king to set a decree. And it says, anyone who prays to the king for the next 30 days, or anyone who prays to someone other than the king for the next 30 days must be thrown into a lion's den. And then in verse 10 of chapter 6 of Daniel, we read this. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where he prayed, where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Like, I love this example, because Daniel, it says there, after he learned the decree had been published. So most people, if we hear that decree, we're like, okay, God, like, you'll understand, you'll forgive me for a month, but I'm not going to pray to you. Like, I'm just not going to do so because I don't want to die. Daniel hears the decree and says, all right, time to go pray. Like, he's so loyal to God. And I think that's just such an amazing example. And then just one more example. It's from Revelation 2:10, when Jesus is talking to the church in Smyrna. And he says, don't be afraid about what you are going to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. So again, the context here is not, as we read it often at funerals, it's not, okay, you're at the end of your life due to old age, so continue to remain faithful. The context here is Jesus is saying, look, you're about to experience extreme persecution that you may be killed for. Even if you're going to be killed, remain faithful to the very end. Even if physical harm comes to you, Jesus wants your heart to be undivided, entirely loyal to him. And there's so many other examples. We could talk about Paul and all the hardships that he goes through that are listed in 2 Corinthians 11. But there's so many good examples, but I think those three are pretty sufficient.
Yeah, those are good. And you see so many of these examples, as you mentioned, too, from the Old Testament, Joseph, Daniel, but then you've also got Moses and Abraham. You could, and David, you could think you could almost make the point or the case that so many of these Old Testament heroes are stories of loyalty to God. So many times you see these people have the opportunity, especially like Joseph and Daniel, you see them have the opportunity to place their loyalty in other things or to discontinue their loyalty to God. And we see them make that decision not to. Now, with some of them, like David, we see them break that covenant. We see them break that loyalty. But then you see that repentance, that sign that says, or that attitude in that heart that says, I'm going to come back to you. And I think that there is something to be said about that as well. Remaining loyal to God doesn't mean that we don't sin, but it does mean that we are faithful. It does mean that when we do sin, we come back to him and that we don't just say, well, I've sinned, I've blown it, I'm not going to come back to God. I'm not going to repent. He wants that. He wants us. And part of being loyal to him, part of being faithful to him, is this attitude and this heart that says, even when I sin, even when I've gone astray, if you will, I'm going to come back to him. And I think that those are all some really, really good examples. And yeah, obviously, Paul, in the New Testament as well, you see many examples. Think of, just all the apostles and all the things that they ended up suffering. Jesus says, look, this is going to happen. The church in Revelation, he says, yeah, this is what's going to happen, but I want you to stay faithful to the end, even if it means dying for the cause of Christ. That's what true loyalty looks like. I think you could sum it up in that sentence there from Jesus. And so we're ending this series on decisions as followers of Jesus. How does loyalty to God, how does our loyalty to God impact each decision that we make?
It's a good question. I want to come at it from perhaps an angle that seems strange, but I want to start by saying I think loyalty to God really makes every decision we have easier. And I say that because we don't have to debate in our minds like, okay, what is the right thing to do, or what's expected of us? We know what that is. Like, we know what the right thing to do. We know what Scripture says, what it means to be a follower of Christ. So because we know that, the decisions that we have that other people perhaps in the world, they're trying to think, okay, should I do this or should I do that? I think that it's easier for Christians to have that clarity about what the right thing to do is. But then it becomes way more difficult for Christians because we have to decide whether we're going to do the right thing or not. And James tells us if we know the right thing to do and don't do it, for us, it is sin. So the debate would be, am I going to do it or am I not? And the difficulty in that is this: just because we know the right thing to do doesn't make it an easy decision. Because Jesus over and over again is calling people to something that is very, very difficult. And it's why throughout his ministry, people walk away from him. You think of John 6 when he says, I am the bread of life. And you have the whole crowd that leaves Jesus. They're like, man, this is difficult. This is really tough. Or you have Jesus when he says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven. And it says, Jesus, like, this is a very difficult teaching. Who can accept it? We have all of these examples of where Jesus is calling us to something that is really, really difficult. But our loyalty to God, it impacts each decision we make in that we know the right thing to do, and it's just up to us to actually put those into practice and to choose that path. Every decision we make could have spiritual treasures that are being built up for us. If we're going out of our way to help others, we could be building spiritual treasures up for ourselves, or at the same time, we could be doing the opposite, and we could be pushing people and ourselves further away from those spiritual things or eternal things. But I like to look at that question as, you know, it makes it easy for us. Like, we don't have to decide whether working that 80-hour job and never seeing our spouse and kids is a good thing to do, or the thing that God would want us to do. Or if taking a pay cut, working less hours, spending more time, and being able to disciple and to care for your family in the home is something that is better. I think we know the right answers to things. Doing it, that's another story.
Yeah, it's easy in theory, not as easy in practice. And I really like the way you frame that, because I think when we keep that at the forefront of our minds, not in the back of our minds, keeping it at the front of our minds, so that we know that no matter what we do, we're thinking, say you mentioned a job example. If it is that job example, we're presented with this opportunity. Hey, you're going to have this promotion. You're going to make more money, but you are going to spend less time with your family. And, you know, as a follower of Jesus, you look at that and you're like, okay, it's not wrong to make money or to be in a position of leadership. We can use that in good ways. But does Jesus really want me to maybe spend less time with my family? Does Jesus really want me to place my allegiance, place my time in other areas, or divided areas? And loyalty to God, when that's at the forefront of our minds in each decision, it says that no matter what happens, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to remain loyal to God. It says no matter what I do or what decision that I make, my relationship with Him is what ultimately guides me. We talked about this in the very first episode that we did in this series. I am, Romans 12:1, offering my whole self to God. So that means that there is no more work life, spiritual life, school life. It impacts every decision that I make, and I make it with my loyalty to God at the very front of my mind. Now, it's like you were saying, it is easy to think that, and it's easy to say that, yes, you know, God, it's Him. He's number one. No other gods before Him. It's not as easy to practice. And sometimes we don't always know that we're not practicing it. So as we think about loyalty and kind of talking about idols and other things that can keep us from remaining loyal to God, what is it that makes it so difficult to remain loyal to Him?
I think human beings always want an easy path out of something. So it's just part of our nature. If there is an easier path to be found, humans are going to take it, and they're going to continue to take it until something or someone or some object, whatever, stops them. So with that just nature of ourselves, of human beings, I think we sometimes want following Jesus to be the same thing. And being loyal to Jesus, I think we want it to be the same thing. We want it to be easy. We want it to require very little effort on our part. We don't want us to get hurt. We don't want us to get offended. We don't want ourselves to be upset or challenged in any way. We want benefits for ourselves without any effort. And again, that's something that we want in all aspects of our life. We want to lose 20 pounds, but we don't want to give up junk. We want to be able to run a 6-minute mile, but we don't want to go run. Like, you can't have it both ways. So I think it's difficult to remain loyal to God because He's asking you to do something. Like, He's asking you to not just follow me and to follow my ways, but He's asking you to participate in His mission. He's asking you to participate in going into the world and telling others the good news and encouraging other people and bringing more people into the kingdom of God. But on top of that, He's not just asking you to do something. He's also asking you to give up something. Like, He's asking you to give up your former way of life, something that Paul so practically talks about in Colossians chapter 3. You're giving up your old life and you're doing something for God, to remain loyal to God. And the difficult part about that is sometimes our old life seems more fun. In this new way of life, Jesus says, like, yeah, you're going to suffer for me, but you got to be okay with that. Like, as a human being, who wants to choose this way of life that is optional? Who wants to choose the path of suffering when you could choose the path of fun and pleasure? But yet that's what remaining to God remaining loyal to God is. It's never supposed to be easy. It's never supposed to be something where there's no resistance at all. But that's part of its difficulty. And for me, and I think this may not contradict what you said earlier, but it's just another way to think of it. I think following Jesus when times are good may be more difficult than following Jesus when times are bad. And here's why I say that. When times are bad, at least in my life, I've had to rely on God more. It's forced me to rely on God more. Whereas when times are good, I have my prideful way of thinking. Sometimes I've thought, okay, why do I need God? Like my life's going good right now. Why would I feel as if I needed him? We had a speaker here a few weeks ago at our church, and he said, it's interesting, if you took a map of the world's wealthiest countries and you layered it on top of the countries that had the least percentage of Christians, they would coincide with one another. That wealth, the more wealthy a nation is, the less amount of Christians, percentage of Christians there are. And I think it goes back to that because, like, who needs, if you feel as if you have everything on your own, why would I remain loyal to God? So I think remaining loyal is not just in bad times, but it's also just when times are good, when you feel as if God has given you the things that you want or the things that you need. How do I remain loyal to God, not just when something's bad, but when times are good as well? But yeah, it is difficult, and it's always going to be difficult. You mentioned earlier, like, every apostle minus John and throw out Judas, but every one of them, church tradition says that they were killed for their faith. Like, they were martyred because they chose to be loyal to Jesus. They were okay with that. And I wonder, on a much lesser scale, when persecution comes or when suffering comes, would we be okay with that and remain loyal to Jesus? Or are we, as you said earlier, are we tapping out? Are we, I'm good, I'm done. That's not what I thought I signed up for. I thought it was this social club that I could, like, put in my social media handles and make me look a little better. But, it takes work. It takes doing, suffering. That's a little bit different. And that's why it's so hard to reveal to God.
Yeah, it's the entire book of 1 Peter. I mean, it's just on my mind because I'm preaching on it. But it's continuing to do good and to show love to one another, even when things are hard, even when things are, even when you're going through suffering, even when you're going through trial. And it's kind of like what you said there at the beginning, is because we as humans take the path of least resistance so many times. You mentioned the 6 minute mile. I thought that was directed at me because, you know, that I've had much trial and error in my running career. I don't think I could call it a career, but it is so true. Often we want the life of Jesus, but we don't want the lifestyle of Jesus. And because, I mean, he gives us the abundant life, he gives us forgiveness of sins, grace, mercy, all these things that we want. And I'm not saying we have to do enough good to earn that. Not what I'm saying at all. But what you're saying, and I totally agree, is that when we put them on in baptism, we say, okay, I want to get to work. I want to do some good, but any sort of trial, any sort of setback or mishap, somebody says something, someone makes fun of me. You work with youth groups, and you probably hear this or at least mention this. Somebody says something at school, or somebody posts something that doesn't end when you're an adult. And something I've heard you say at church camp, when you're about to baptize someone or when someone is getting baptized, is that baptism is truly when the journey begins and when it gets hard. Like, it's just going to get harder from here. And that's not necessarily discouragement, but just a way of saying that, like, this is life now. Colossians 3, it's taking off the old way and putting on the new self. And I think just going along with that, I think just distractions in our lives, or the things maybe that offer us a false gospel or something to put our hope in, something that I can see, something that's tangible that I can work towards and see the benefit from, because it could be easy. You know, we can't see heaven. We don't know exactly what it looks like. And so it maybe can be difficult or easy for us to just say, well, I'll put my hope in this candidate. Hey, if he wins, then I'll be good, right? Or this sports team, I'll put my hope in the, you know, the Eagles or whatever. They'll be good. And, you know, they'll get to the championship again. And we can see that, you know, and maybe sometimes it can be easy to lose sight of what we're truly working for as followers of Jesus, you know, whether it's politics, sports, no matter what it is, these things can become a distraction and they can swerve our loyalty to God and cause us to put our loyalty in other things, because it goes back to what you were saying earlier, because it's easy. Like, that's the easy thing to do. And also because it's what everyone else is doing. So why not just kind of follow the crowd? And so I think we see that a lot. So that's a good point. Just to close out with, what are some practical ways we can remain loyal to God just in our everyday lives?
Yeah, I think the answer to this question is something that the audience has probably heard over and over again. But I think the best way is to spend time in God's Word. You don't know how to remain loyal to something or to someone in this case if you don't know what it truly means to follow that person, if you don't know what they're asking you to do and what they're asking you to become. So you got to spend time in the Word of God. And when you spend time in the Word of God, I know perhaps this being loyal to God, we've talked a lot about suffering and we've talked about what you have to give up. But when you spend time in the Word of God, you realize, okay, yeah, you know what? You may suffer here on this earth, but the reward of following Jesus far outweighs anything that you could experience or suffer here on earth. So it's worth it. Like, it's worth it to remain loyal to God. It's worth it to remain loyal to the King, because, like, what he has prepared for you is so much greater. Like Ephesians 1, it talks about how he gives the Holy Spirit as a deposit that guarantees your inheritance. Like, that word deposit, it's like he gives you that. Like, it's not everything he's going to give you, but it's something now just so that you know something better, bigger is coming later. And it's so important to realize that, like, yeah, get into God's Word, because yes, it will tell you that you're going to suffer on behalf of Christ, but it'll also tell you to persevere. It'll also tell you that there is something so much greater that God has in store for us once this life ends. So get into God's Word, surround yourself with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Going through this world alone was never supposed to be part of the plan. We were always supposed to have company and community, and that's what the church family is. That's who it should be, is someone who encourages you and strengthens you and helps you as you walk and navigate this tricky world and try to remain loyal in it. And then just another discipline that, again, all these are very familiar to everyone, but spending time in prayer. God, each morning, what if you started with the prayer, God, help me to choose to be loyal to you today in all aspects of my life. Help me to be loyal to you in the reels or the shorts that I watch on my phone. Or help me to be loyal to you in my interactions with that coworker who I don't get along with very well. God, help me to be loyal to you in my thoughts. God, just help me every day to be loyal to you. So I think, again, those are so common. They're not just going to help you remain loyal to God, but they're going to help you in all aspects of the Christian faith. But those are just the three that came to mind.
Yeah, it's amazing how those things are so simple, and yet they are the way that we remain loyal to God, and they're the way that we are filled with the Spirit, and the way that we abide with Him is when we do those things. It's the things that Christians have been doing for 2,000 years, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason why these things are so, I don't want to say cliche, but just, it's just a part of the Christian way. It's just a part of the Christian life. And there's a reason for that, because those things are what we do in order to show our allegiance to Him. And you're right. It's really hard to know what God expects from us when we're not opening up His word to see what it is that He's saying to us, what it is that He wants and desires for our lives, and getting involved in the local church, serving, using your gifts, using your talents to serve God, not just being a fan or a part of a social club or a social gathering, but actually taking part in the work that the church is doing, and actually taking part in the work that ultimately God is doing here on earth. It's your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think that if we lived out that mantra, that prayer from Jesus, if we said that every morning, and what you said is so true as well, I think that that would really help us. And obviously, this is all easy to say and easy to talk about, but sometimes not as easy to actually practice. Because you may be listening to this, or we're talking, and then you run into that person that you have that issue with. Well, it's in those moments when our loyalty to God can perhaps be tested. And on that note, just want to close out with Romans 13, love fulfills the law. When we show unconditional love, when we endure suffering, when we trust God through those times, and when we make the best use of our time, when we spend it well, that's a recipe for remaining loyal to God. And ultimately, it becomes putting those things into practice. So Zachary, you brought up some great stuff as always. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Great conversation.
Thank you.